This is the reading for April 2nd. Psalm 92. It is good to praise you, Lord, to sing praises to God Most High. It is good to tell of your love in the morning and of your loyalty at night. It is good to praise you with a 10-stringed lyre and with a soft-sounding harp. Lord, you have made me happy by what you have done. I will sing for joy about what your hands have done. Lord, you have done such great things. How deep are your thoughts? Stupid people don't know these things, and fools don't understand. Wicked people grow like the grass. Evil people seem to do well, but they will be destroyed forever. But Lord, you will be honored forever. Lord, surely your enemies will be destroyed, and all who do evil will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as an ox. You have poured fine oils on me. When I looked, I saw my enemies. I heard the cries of those who are against me. But good people will grow like palm trees. They will be tall like the cedars of Lebanon. Like trees planted in the temple of the Lord, they will grow strong in the courtyards of our God. When they are old, they will still produce fruit, but they will be healthy and fresh. They will say that the Lord is good, He is my rock, and there is no wrong in Him. Deuteronomy 29. The Lord commanded Moses to make an agreement with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the agreement he had made with them at Mount Sinai. These are the words of that agreement. Moses called all the Israelites together and said to them, "You have seen everything the Lord did before your own eyes to the king of Egypt and to the king's leaders and to the whole country. With your own eyes you saw the great troubles, signs, and miracles, but to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands. You don't really understand what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. I led you through the desert for 40 years, and during that time neither your clothes nor sandals wore out. You ate no bread and drank no beer or wine. This was so you would understand that I am the Lord your God. When you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out to fight us, but we defeated them. We captured their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh to be their own. But you must carefully obey everything in this agreement so that you will succeed in everything you do. Today you are all standing here before the Lord your God, your leaders and important men, your older leaders, officers, and all the other men of Israel, your wives and children, and the foreigners who live among you, who chop your wood and carry your water. You are all here to enter into an agreement and a promise with the Lord your God, an agreement the Lord your God is making with you today. This will make you today His own people. He will be your God as He told you and as He promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I am not just making this agreement and its promises with you who are standing here before the Lord your God today, but also with those who are not here today. You know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries when we came here. You saw their hateful idols made of wood, stone, silver, and gold. Make sure no man, woman, family group, or tribe among you leaves the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. They would be to you like a plant that grows bitter, poisonous fruit. These are the kind of people who hear these curses but bless themselves, thinking, "We will be safe even though we continue doing what we want to do." Those people may destroy all of your land, both wet and dry. The Lord will not forgive them. His anger will be like a burning fire against those people, and all the curses written in this book will come to them. The Lord will destroy any memory of them on the earth. He will separate them from all the tribes of Israel for punishment. All the curses of the agreement that are written in this book of the teachings will happen to them. Your children who will come after you, as well as foreigners from faraway lands, will see the disasters that come to this land and the diseases the Lord will send on it. They will say, "The land is nothing but burning cinders and salt. Nothing is planted, nothing grows, and nothing blooms. It is like Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord destroyed because He was very angry." All the other nations will ask, "Why has the Lord done this to the land? Why is He so angry?" And the answer will be, "It is because the people broke the agreement of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, which He made with them when He brought them out of Egypt. They went and served other gods and bowed down to gods they did not even know. The Lord did not allow that, so He became very angry at the land and brought all the curses on it that are written in this book. Since the Lord became angry and furious with them, He took them out of their land and put them in another land where they are today. There are some things the Lord our God has kept secret, and there are some things He has let us know. These things belong to us and our children forever, so that we will do everything in these teachings." Deuteronomy chapter 30. When all these blessings and curses I have described happen to you, and the Lord your God has sent you away to other nations, think about these things. Then you and your children will return to the Lord your God, and you will obey him with your whole being in everything I am commanding you today. Then the Lord your God will give you back your freedom. He will feel sorry for you, and he will bring you back again from the nations where he scattered you. He may send you to the ends of the earth, but he will gather you and bring you back from there, back to the land that belonged to your ancestors. It will be yours. He will give you success, and there will be more of you than there were of your ancestors. The Lord your God will prepare you and your descendants to love him with your whole being so that you will live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate you and are cruel to you. And you will again obey the Lord, keeping all his commands that I give you today. The Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do. You will have many children, your cattle will have many calves, and your fields will produce good crops, because the Lord will again be happy with you, just as he was with your ancestors. But you must obey the Lord your God by keeping all his commands and rules that are written in this book of the teachings. You must return to the Lord your God with your whole being. This command I give you today is not too hard for you. It is not beyond what you can do. It is not up in heaven. You do not have to ask, who will go up to heaven and get it for us so we can obey it and keep it? It is not on the other side of the sea. You do not have to ask, who will go across the sea and get it? Who will tell it to us so we can keep it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. Look, today I offer you life and success, death and destruction. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to do what he wants you to do, and to keep his commands, his rules, and his laws. Then you will live and grow in number, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are entering to take as your own. But if you turn away from the Lord and do not obey him, if you are led to bow and serve other gods, I tell you today that you will surely be destroyed, and you will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan River to enter and take as your own. Today, I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses. I am offering you life or death, blessings or curses. Now, choose life. Then you and your children may live. To choose life is to love the Lord your God, obey him, and stay close to him. He is your life, and he will let you live many years in the land he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The book of Luke, chapter 7.
When Jesus had finished everything he wanted to say to the people, he went to Capernaum. There, a Roman army officer's valuable slave was sick and near death. The officer had heard about Jesus and sent some Jewish leaders to him. They were to ask Jesus to come and save the servant's life. They came to Jesus and begged, "He deserves your help. He loves our people and built our synagogue at his own expense." Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the officer sent friends to tell Jesus, "Sir, don't bother. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. That's why I didn't come to you. But just give a command and let my servant be cured. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. I tell my servant, do this, and he does it." Jesus was amazed at the officer when he heard these words. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I can guarantee that I haven't found faith as great as this in Israel." When the men who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant healthy again. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a city called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he came near the entrance to the city, he met a funeral procession. The dead man was a widow's only child. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. He said to her, "Don't cry." He went up to the open coffin, took hold of it, and the men who were carrying it stopped. He said, "Young man, I'm telling you to come back to life." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Everyone was struck with fear and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has appeared among us, and God has taken care of his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding region. John's disciples told him about all these things. Then John called two of his disciples and sent them to ask the Lord, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?" At that time, Jesus was curing many people who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. Also, he was giving back sight to many who were blind. Jesus answered John's disciples, Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. Blind people see again. Lame people are walking. Those with skin diseases are made clean. Deaf people hear again. Dead people are brought back to life. And poor people hear the good news. Whoever doesn't lose his faith in me is indeed blessed. When John's messengers had left, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. What did you go into the desert to see? Tall grass swaying in the wind? Really, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Those who wear splendid clothes and live in luxury are in royal palaces. Really, what did you go to see? A prophet? Let me tell you that he is far more than a prophet. John is the one about whom Scripture says, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way in front of you." I can guarantee that of all the people ever born, no one is greater than John. Yet, the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater than John. All the people, including tax collectors, heard John. They admitted that God was right by letting John baptize them. But the Pharisees and the experts in Moses' teachings rejected God's plan for them. They refused to be baptized. How can I describe the people who are living now? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and shout to each other, "We played music for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, but you didn't cry. John the Baptizer has come, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'There's a demon in him.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him. He's a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is proved right by all its results." One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and was eating at the table. A woman who lived a sinful life in that city found out that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she took a bottle of perfume and knelt at his feet. She was crying and washed his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them over and over again, and poured the perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and thought, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus spoke up, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Simon replied, "Teacher, you're free to speak." So Jesus said, "Two men owed a moneylender some money. One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he was kind enough to cancel their debts. Now, who do you think will love him the most?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said to him, "You're right." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "You see this woman, don't you? I came into your house. You didn't wash my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but ever since I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any olive oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. That's why I'm telling you that her many sins have been forgiven. Her great love proves that. But whoever receives little forgiveness loves very little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." The other guests thought, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."